This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
Last Things, Session 17, The Tribulation Part 7, Prelude to Disaster. The chart for this session is chart number 9, and this session first published June 12, 2022. As we approach verse 1 of chapter 8, we must remind ourselves of the flow of the text. All of chapter 7 is an inset parenthesis, an interruption of the chronological flow of the end-time narrative. Its first half points back to a scene on earth at the beginning of the tribulation, while the second half points forward, revealing a scene in heaven that will transpire at the end of the tribulation, but before Christ returns in power. Thus, chapter 8 picks up where chapter 6 leaves off. The breaking of the sixth seal, up till then the most terrifying consequences of the tribulation period. The centerpiece of this event is a cataclysmic earthquake in which, quote, every mountain and island were moved out of their places, end quote. That's verse 14. It is so bad that people from all social strata seek either safety or a quick death by hiding in the very quaking mountains. Turn, please, to chapter 6, and let's read verses 16 to 17. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand? So now we're at verse 1 of chapter 8, which follows immediately the end of chapter 6. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. If your version has when he, you have the more literal translation, but we need the reminder that the he is the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the very Son of God who is running the show. He has been the one, the only one sufficiently worthy to break open the seven seals of the scroll. Look at chapter 5, Revelation 5, beginning with verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Since all of the events of the eschaton are contained within the scroll, then we know that Christ Jesus is the director, the orchestrator of this drama from beginning to end, which brings a poetic symmetry to the narrative. Christ is the one drawing this world to an end that he created in the first place. The writer to the Hebrews describes the creation as God working through his Son. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Let's read the first three verses. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. Who is he? Who is this Son? He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, that is, God's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Paul, in Colossians, paints a picture of the Son as not just the Creator, but the focal point of it all. Not only the center, but the center who holds it all together and makes it work. Turn, please, to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 16 to 17. For by him all things were created, that is, by Jesus Christ, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And note this echo from Hebrews. And in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. These passages, as well as those to come later in Revelation, give us a proper long view of the life of the second member of the Godhead and help us realize the true depth of his character and importance to the whole. In majesty and creative might, he made the universe and man within it. During the Old Testament, he took on the role of the Father's most important messenger, the angel of the Lord. Not an angel, but the angel of the Lord. Then, in an even more subservient role, Christ Jesus came to earth as the suffering servant, the Son obedient unto death, the Lamb, offering us not insignificantly salvation and an eternity with him. And we find him still in the role of the Lamb as he inaugurates the final days of the earth he created. But soon, in just 7 brief years, he will be reintroduced in his full majesty and might as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we have a dramatic suspension. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. It's a common technique in cinema. Right before a huge explosion or climactic visual effect, for the director to pull out all sound from the soundtrack, a second of dead air, so to speak, to maximize the impact of the shattering explosion on the audience. And this is precisely how the Lamb orchestrates the introduction of a series of 7 trumpets lying within the 7th seal. All sounds in heaven, all worship and praise, all hearing of prayers, all speaking and revelations are silenced for about 30 minutes to build anticipation for the approaching disasters. Albert Barnes writes, "The most simple and obvious interpretation is likely to be the true one, and that is that it refers to silence in heaven as expressive of the fearful anticipation felt on opening the last seal that was to close the series. And to wind up the affairs of the church and the world, nothing would be more natural than such a state of solemn awe on such an occasion. Nothing would introduce the opening of the seal in a more impressive manner." Verse 2. "And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them." From this text, we cannot identify these angels. These should not be confused with the seven spirits of God from Revelation 5, verse 6, and they are no doubt different angels from the seven who will be later pouring out the bowls of wrath. Yet we're given a clue in the phrase, quote, who stand before God, end quote. In Luke 1, verse 19, we have, the angel answered and said to Zacharias, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Luke 1:19. This suggests that the seven are archangels, quote, angels of the presence, end quote, such as Michael and Gabriel, who stand before the throne of God. In fact, seven archangels are identified by name in the Pseudepigraphus Book of Enoch. Now let me add a sidebar here. This is just because it's interesting. Pseudepigrapha are early writings that were not included in either our canon or even the Apocrypha, which was removed from the Protestant canon but is still included by Catholics. The word pseudepigrapha comes from the Greek word pseudo, meaning false, and epigraphein, meaning to inscribe or write falsely. Thus, I include the following because it's interesting, as do scholars and commentators. Just about everybody references this at this point. Because it's interesting, not because it's Holy Scripture. It is not. But from Enoch, 1 Enoch, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And these are the names of the holy angels who watch mankind. Uriel, one of the holy angels who was over the world and over Tartarus. 3. Raphael, one of the holy angels who is over the spirits of men. Raquel, one of the holy angels who takes vengeance on the world of the luminaries. Michael, one of the holy angels, to wit, he that is set over the best part of mankind and over chaos. Sarakel, one of the holy angels who is set over the spirits who sin in the spirit. Gabriel, one of the holy angels who is over paradise and the serpents and the cherubim. Remiel, one of the holy angels whom God set over those who rise. That's 1 Enoch, not in our canon, not considered authoritative or from God. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 8. Now, while we cannot accept the preceding text as scripture, it is true that the original text of verse 2 in Revelation includes the definite article, the, which tells us that this is an official, established group of seven angels that holds a special place before the throne of God. So, that there are seven, that's in God's word. That we know their names, that we're told their names, and what they do, their responsibilities, that is not Holy Scripture. Each of these select angels is handed a trumpet. The word is salpinges. We might think of the traditional ram's horn, but Israel had several types of trumpet, some of which were hammered metal. These horns were used to call men to battle, as in Nehemiah 4:20, or throw an enemy into a panic to summon worshipers, to make celebration, as during the Feast of Trumpets, Numbers 29, verse 1. Or to declare that the day of the Lord has arrived, as in Joel chapter 2. Blow a trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn is spread over the mountains. So there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it, nor will there be again after it, to the years of many generations. Joel 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. We cannot say with certainty whether this is another angelic being or, as some say, is actually Christ Jesus. His work here as an advocate of prayers leads some to claim it is Christ. But the Greek behind the word, another, is allos, means another of the same kind. Meaning in this context that the one in verse 3 is of the same kind as the previous seven. Contra Walvoord, I incline toward it being, as the text states, another angel, rather than Christ Jesus, who is consistently referred to throughout the Revelation by his divine titles, not as an angel. Walvoord does write this. This is a beautiful picture of the prayers of the saints as seen from heaven. In the Old Testament order, the priests would burn incense upon the altar of incense, and the smoke would fill the temple or the tabernacle and would then ascend to heaven. Incense was symbolic of worship and prayer, and a reminder that intercession to the Lord has the character of sweet incense. And this is pictured for us in verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, went up before God out of the angel's hand. Verse 5 is fascinating. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Originally, these censers, or fire pans, were made of hammered bronze. Numbers 16, verse 39. Later, however, for Solomon's temple, they were made of pure gold. 1 Kings 7, verse 50. As here, in heaven's temple. The Greek word here translated censer is lebanaton. Literally, the word means frankincense, the gum of the libanus, or frankincense tree, which was the key component of the incense burned on the altar. Although it's not stated explicitly, it's assumed by most, but not all, that the prayers of all the saints offered in verses 3 to 4 were similar to those cried out by the martyrs under the altar in Revelation 6:10. Where they cried out, quote, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" End quote. Thus, what the angel does in verse 5 is taken as God's answer to these prayers. They have cried out for judgment and vengeance, and his response is that the time is ripe for just that. So here's the scene. The angel is given, by whom we don't know, incense, which he adds to the glowing fire on the altar. He does not add the prayers, but he adds the sweet incense to the prayers. And the prayers will be caught up in the smoke of the incense, and they travel to God. Both are wafted into the, as we might say, nostrils of God. Putting action to God's unspoken or at least unrecorded answer. The angel scoops out of the altar some of the burning coals, not the prayers, just the fire, and throws it onto the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Alan F. Johnson, in his commentary, refers to this as a theophany, a physical manifestation of the presence of God, and one not dissimilar to how he presented himself at Mount Sinai. Let's look at that. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, Let's read verses 16 to 17. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. The passage closes with verse 6. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Here again I sense a dramatic, anticipatory pause. Verse 6 really isn't necessary except to build tension for the coming events. As we are now preparing to do battle with the seven trumpets, this is a good time to remind ourselves of the ground we've covered so far. This study began by establishing that the last things, the eschaton, technically began in Bethlehem. In our first chart, we designated the starting point of the church age at Pentecost, with the giving of the Holy Spirit to all believers. We currently remain in the church age, with the next milepost on the timeline being the rapture of the church. In chart 6, we establish that the timeline splits at the rapture. Believers, both dead and alive, rise into heaven with Christ Jesus in resurrected, glorified bodies, while the rest of humanity remains on earth to suffer the trials of the tribulation, or Daniel's 70th week, as it's called. In chart 7, I made the case for Daniel's 70 weeks beginning in 457 BC with Artaxerxes' authorization for Ezra to restore and rebuild Jerusalem and its temple. We traced those 70 weeks through Christ's crucifixion, the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, the church age, which Daniel did not see, the rapture, and finally, the 7 years of the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week. In chart 8, we presented the seals, trumpets, and bowls of the tribulation period as a nested series of events. That is, everything is contained in the scroll of seals. The seventh seal is the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowls of wrath. Next, we spent several weeks examining in chart 9 the details of the seven seals, along with the first of several parenthetical visions set outside the narrative stream. Thus, we are now ready to launch into the seven trumpets, which, like the seals, begins with four events that are set apart from the even more traumatic, and in this instance, bizarre events of the last three.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2022 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible study section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications from the last 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lockman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek-Hebrew Dictionary. All resources at our website are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.